grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Welcome, Chris. I'm absolutely stoked to see you again.
Oh, thank you. I'm stoked to be here again.
Great stuff.
Nice little walk down the hill, nice and high. Just past 4:20, everyone, so it's marijuana media time. Should we get straight into it?
I reckon crack into it.
There's a few things that have happened, but leading the news is sports.
I know.
It doesn't happen very often, but no. I just thought this was interesting. UK football fans are urged to toke up, not drink up.
Yes.
I wrote that headline myself, but that could have been a genuine one. So this is German police, and they said if you're coming over, or you are coming over, British football fans, coming over to the UEFA Euro 2024,
yep,
which is happening started this week, goes through to July 14, smoke pot instead of getting on the piss.
Because there's a bit of a culture that goes with that, you know, European soccer culture.
Especially the British, eh?
Heavy
no one
drinking.
Likes a hooligan. Really.
No.
Apart from other hooligans, I guess.
And it's about the soccer. It's not about, you know, getting as smashed as you can.
That's
you're sitting
right.
there watching it.
That's right. And why wouldn't you? Because cannabis is now legal in Germany.
Exactly.
So why wouldn't you? Since April the 1st, if you're over 18, you can have 25 grams in public.
Nice.
There you go. And so The Sun, and we love quoting The Sun.
It's great.
Well, they talked to someone from the Gelsenkirchen police, saying it's no problem for fans to smoke cannabis. I'm not going to do the accent. That would be offensive. It's no problem for fans to smoke cannabis on the street. If we see a group of people drinking alcohol and looking a bit aggressive, and another group smoking cannabis, of course we'll look at the group drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Drinking alcohol can make someone more aggressive. Smoking cannabis puts people in the chill mood.
Yes. Okay.
So that's all good. That's all good. Except then the bosses heard and said, no.
Ugh.
Come on. Actually, legalization has a few rules associated with it.
Yes.
As you would. And so the R18 is one thing, but no use in places where children or young people are present.
Oh no, so a football game.
Well, that's the stadium. So no smoking in the stadiums. They did caution. No smoking in the stadiums. They remain for alcohol.
Right.
No, actually, I don't know if there's drinking in the stadiums. I just made that up. But
I think there is, because I know Eden Park makes a lot of money off.
Wouldn't surprise me, eh?
Booze
probably
and stuff.
How they pay for the whole thing. Maybe one of the stadiums could have been sponsored by a cannabis brand, and then that could have, you know, then you could see the difference right there.
Bingo. I mean, what do you want around kids? You know, slightly zenned out people or highly aggressive drunkards? I think I know which one I'm choosing.
That's right. So, yeah, good on them, I thought. But it's a bit like, I mean, you know, you can see they are actually going to tolerate it, but, you know,
yeah.
They had to just say to the media, oh, you know, not in the stadium.
Okay.
So speaking of science and studies and effects on others.
This is an interesting one.
This is, because it's actually, you know, very topical here. And this was a new study, actually in the Journal of Cannabis Research, a not biased at all publication.
Not at all.
Frequent cannabis consumers exhibit no significant changes in driving performance following the use of THC-infused edibles.
And that is so interesting, considering we've got those new testing rules coming in.
Yes, and it's the kind of thing we've been talking about, where different methods have different kind of effects.
Mm.
But also, if you're a frequent cannabis consumer, then you're tolerant and attuned to the effects. And so this was people in Canada. It was a fairly small 22 subjects, but they gave them actual edibles, 7.3 milligrams THC, and then had a look at what they did. Compared to baseline, the edibles produced a decrease in mean speed.
Okay.
2 hours after consumption. So they went a bit slower. No changes in standard deviation of lateral position, which is weaving.
Okay.
Maximum speed, standard deviation of speed, or reaction time were found at any time point. And in fact, some people said, I don't feel up for driving, and declined. So,
wow.
Or a lesser willingness. I didn't say they declined, I said that. A lesser willingness. So they self-identified, perhaps, as being a bit, maybe not.
Nice. But people, at least people are aware of, you know,
interesting that the only effect was to slow down.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the cliche, yeah. Like we all say, oh yeah, you're going to get stoned. And well, there you go. Mm. Right there. There's a study doing it.
Slowing down.
Another one closer to home. Similar thing. This was an actual double-blind placebo randomized, you know, the proper stuff. Over in Australia. Yeah, over in Australia, actually. Clinical trial. No next day impairment following nighttime use of cannabis oil.
Ah.
This is in the journal Psychopharmacology. And they gave them an oral extract of either 10 milligrams of THC, which is sort of the standard kind of decent dose, 200 milligrams of CBD, that's more than most people would have, or a placebo, and no impairing effects. It was a simulated driving performance, but no impairing effects.
Wow.
And I thought, well, why that, again, that's relevant here. Number one reason for getting the prescription here is to help with sleep.
Yes.
And people are doing it so they can get a good night's sleep so they can go to work the next day.
Yes.
And yet then they're getting tested at work.
I know.
Maybe getting fired, you know, so. So there you go, no impairing effects.
Well, I think it's an interesting one with sleep science. It's kind of what works for you, because everyone said, you know, take some melatonin, it gave me terrible nightmares.
Ooh.
And then, you know, like other people say, and then I found magnesium helps me, but might not help someone else. And a lot of people who use, you know, marijuana for sleep, you know, there's that kind of misconception that it makes you really groggy the next day. But I guess it's just case by case, you know.
That's right.
If it works for you,
yeah.
Great stuff.
I don't think anyone would be aiming to be groggy and doing it with you know, the help of a doctor, and maybe in combination with some of those things you said.
Yeah.
Tell you what, this just all by itself could be enough, because here's another study.
Here we go.
Having a cannabis dispensary near you is good for your mental health.
I love this.
It would be so good for my mental health, hey? I don't know about you.
Yeah, it'd make me pretty happy.
So this is looking at America in National Bureau of Economic Research. Actually, it's looking at older people. Older people who reside within a 30-minute drive of a licensed dispensary report experiencing fewer days of poor mental health. The study's authors suggested they're probably using it for pain relief. They're getting good effects from it. It's, you know, helping them relax and get on with life, and that is good for their mental health.
They're on that good buzz.
Yeah.
Thanks to a close cannabis facility.
There you go. We need it.
We do.
We need it.
And you've got 20... Oh, what is this? Hang on. $7.5 million capital raise.
Ooh, what's that? Oh, well, that's, I think, what they want. Yes, our next story, local one, little medical cannabis news. Because, you know, if you want your dispensaries, you've got to have people there to supply it. In the Herald today, it is behind a paywall, though. Local Cannabis Co. launching a AI brokerage.
AI's interesting.
All the rage these days. You've got to have your AI everything.
You do.
So what they're saying is they'll be able to handle all the red tape for people who are growing, who are finding themselves blocked out from exports or kind of doing anything because of all the permits and testing and that's needed. In fact, Aurifarm themselves said they'd sent, what was it we talked about a couple of weeks ago, 100 kilos over to Aussie, and it took them like 6 months from applying to actually get the thing.
But yeah,
that's
so
the
long.
First one. That's the first one. Now they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And, so they've hooked up with this AI something, B2B exchange over in Aussie. And there you go. So if you're thinking of getting back into growing or are growing, then Aurifarm down in the Waikato, they could be the ones to handle it for you. In that, this Herald article, because it talked about, because it's all really a problem with all these rules, you should just be able to just do it. And but you need this kind of service to be able to get through it. So they did talk about these promised changes to the cannabis regulations that we've really harped on about for bloody ever.
Yeah.
And it sounded like they couldn't get anything out of Shane Reddy. They said he's played his cards close to his chest.
Ooh.
But actually, I was talking about it with a couple of doctors today.
Hmm.
Back when the medical cannabis law went through, early 2018, or late 2017, whatever it was, early 2018, they were competing. There were three bills in contention in Parliament. They were competing to be the best. There was Chloe Swarbrick, had her one.
Yes.
There was Labour's one that actually went through. And there was Shane Retty's one.
The he had his own one.
Oh, yeah. And Shane Retty's one, the doctors gave you a card, medical cannabis card. Then you go down to the pharmacy and you show them the card, and then they open this little magical cupboard with all this array of cannabis goods and whatever.
Wow.
And you just get what you want.
Okay.
And, there you go. That was his one. And actually, in many ways, it was the best of the lot.
That's so interesting. I didn't even know that there were that many versions of the bill.
Incredible. It was like peak medical cannabis.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that's what gives me hope. Shane Retty's, you know, that his bill, as I say, was probably the best of the lot. And maybe that's, you know, he might be working on some good changes there.
Yeah, good on you, Shreddy.
Righto, and then other local news. Well, it's not local, but it was at least in the local paper, in the Herald. This is over in Maryland.
Maryland.
Which is next to Washington, D.C. The governor there pardoning 175,000 people with marijuana convictions at the stroke of a pen on Monday.
Which is crazy good.
Man, I mean, yeah, that is really good. It just shows how easy it is when they want to.
Exactly.
And it's the most in any one pen stroke in America.
Wow.
So that's the way it's going in the kind of home of prohibition, eh? They're sort of unwinding it, repealing it.
Yeah.
Wiping the records.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because, you know, there's so many jobs you can't get if you have something on your conviction. And I mean, for all of that to be reversed, like, that's potentially 170,000 lives changed.
That is exactly right. Yes, and that article in the Herald, I think it was the Washington Post reprint, talked to some people that had that kind of thing. And that's exactly right. And we often forget that. And in fact, it's easy for politicians to forget because they're typically not the target. They don't have the records. They haven't been busted. And they got away with using it with impunity. And Chloe Swarbrick, to her credit, is one of the few people that's pointed that out. Probably to the annoyance of the other politicians. But, you know, they get to say, just joke about it and say, I use pot. Yo, I was at university once, ha ha ha.
Yeah, I went to Otago.
Yeah. Yeah, but other people actually got busted.
Yeah.
You know, and have had, you know, their lives changed from that. So,
Along with all
They were doing the referendum. I was meeting with the Ministry of Justice officials and talking about what should be in that referendum bill. And it was like, oh my God, they were so fixated on that alcohol and tobacco model. As if those have worked really well. And and so that was what we ended up.
But
I was
saying
to them, you know, we need a thing where we wipe all the records with expungement. And they said, oh no, when we legalised homosexuality in the 80s, it took us 25 years to wipe people's records.
Are you kidding me?
And so that was apparently the benchmark.
From 80?
You had to wait 25 years just because that's how long it had taken them to do that.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, there was no other reason. There's no reason why not to wipe it other than... apparently you should just wait 25 years.
I'm disenchanted by the legal system. And so what's coming up? Got anything exciting?
First we look back, because June is Hemp History Month.
It is.
And George Washington was in the news this week because they found some preserved cherries and things in some bottles buried in an archaeological dig in his old spot. The old farm.
Are you kidding me?
And there's all that thing about him chopping down the tree for the cherry or something. I don't quite know the story, but the thing, George Washington actually grew hemp as well. And first US president, 1765. 1765, his diary says, I almost did the old creaky man voice. He began to separate the male from the female hemp rather too late.
Oh no!
And you do think, well, why would that be an issue? It would only be an issue if you were growing it for its medicinal or drug content.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's no actual evidence he did do that. But suggestive.
Mr. Washington. Suggestive. We have our eyes on you.
I think if he was here today, he would be a member of the Whakamana Medical Cannabis Club, which is meeting.
I think so too.
And when I say meeting, I mean getting together at the Blue Frog. Down at Silo Park tonight.
Tonight, for yay!
Quite soon, 3 to 10.
Yes, yeah.
And we've got Hayley Thayer's High Art Exhibition at the Hemp Store for the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
The Matariki. Big party on K Road for Matariki.
Cool.
And there's a Cannaposium, Medical Cannabis Symposium, coming up at the Surrey Hotel in Greylin in August.
I know the one, yes.
There you go. And J-Day's in December, first Saturday.
Love it. Well, lots of exciting things. Thank you, Chris. It's lovely to see you for another week.
Righto.
And thank you, Hemp Store. And that's Marijuana Media for another week.
Do it, babe.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with me.